Blog Talk Radio.
Like me, talk to the slaves. They didn't kill them. They sent some old house Negro along behind them to undo what he said. You have to read the history of slavery to understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He ate better, he dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate and wore his same clothes. And he could talk just like his master, good diction. And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. That's why he didn't want his master hurt. If the master got sick, he'd say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick?" When the master's house caught a fire, he'd try and put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened. And he was more defensive of it than the master was. That was the house Negro. But then you had some field Negro who lived in huts, had nothing to lose. They wore the worst kind of clothes. They ate the worst food. And they caught hell. They felt the sting of the lash. They hated their master. Oh, yes, they did. If the master got sick, they prayed that the master died. If the master's house caught a fire, they prayed for a strong wind to come along. This was the difference between the two. And today you still have house Negroes and field Negroes. Yeah. I'm a field Negro.
Yep. If you don't know who that is, then never mind. Hang up. Stop listening to the show right now. This is Citizen Payne. This is Kay's Son and Friends, Chuck D in the beginning, and you know who that was. If you don't, like I said, you don't need to be listening to this show. And I'm a field Negro too, but you know what? I'm a combination of the two. I'm one of the ones that brought up in the house or had the opportunities of the house, but I got a field Negro mentality. So when that house come to burn down, I'm bringing in everybody and say, "We need more tinder, y'all." That's what I'm talking about. And that's for the AG in Kentucky. That's a special shout out to him, because certainly he's acting like a house Negro. It's unbelievable that we have to go through what we have to go through in this country. But it's not surprising to me. His decision is not surprising, obviously. When they start calling up National Guard and wanting to get the cops around and let's get the people, that means they made a decision that they know everybody is not going to like. That means they made a decision that they know is corrupt, immoral, and everything else that you can use to describe it. So we're not really surprised, are we? We've been here before, haven't we? And each time in history, in the course of our history in this country, that they try to do these things, we still rise up. See, that's what drives them crazy. Because they can't get rid of us. They can't stomp us out. They understand when they see the original man and woman, the father of the civilization on this planet, it drives them crazy. That's why they make up stuff. They make up the myths. And you got the one religion where they made up the Mormon religion. I'm going to call them out because it's the truth. You can look it up. when they said that the black people didn't have souls and they were cursed because they were black skin, you know, Cain and Abel, they were cursed. But the real reason is the reverse, isn't it? Because they wouldn't hate you, or they wouldn't stiffen up when you walk in a room. Everybody knows if you're a black person, you walk in a room or you're around certain individuals, not all, we'll say not all, but you know, it even gets hard not to have certain feelings, not to have feelings like Malcolm had in those beginning days of his awakening when he joined the Nation. Because, you know, this after a minute, after so much, I can say shit, I've said it before, after so much, let me say bullshit, for 400 years, you get tired of trying to separate people. But even though you want to separate them, this is what you want to tell them too. If you don't feel this way, then go back and talk to your people and try to convince them. If you and I know each other on a personal basis and you're cool with me, the individual black person or African person or Indian person or Asian person, then go back and tell your people. Tell them that they're not all like that. The images and the thoughts that you have are incorrect. But speak up, because it's not on us. So people want to have a heritage of hate, and I'm sorry, I've just got so many thoughts in my mind, and they're coming out, and it pisses me off, this bullshit that we have to go through every single day. And I even get mad, and the fellas heard me before, and everybody that listens to this show gets mad that I'm calling out the Democratic Party, because they sometimes have been in cahoots with their mealy-mouthed way of talking about things. So I understand why some black people say the Republican that want to be black Republicans get upset because they say the Democratic Party is not really serving you. But you know what, when you think about that, you say, yeah, but if I had to put the two side by side, I'm going to go with the lesser of the two evils. Just the other day, Chuck Schumer talking about maybe we could have a few righteous Republicans' integrity. This is the problem. We keep depending on these individuals, these savages, to have a conscience. That's the problem, I think, when Barack took office, because he had best intentions, thinking that I'm going to include them in my decisions. You hit me one time in the head with a baseball bat, you don't need to hit me again. All right, I get the message. Let's bring in the brothers here. Let's bring in Byron first, legendary historian. What's up, Byron? How you doing? Hold on, your mic is still loading up. There you go. How you doing, brother?
I'm alive. I'm well. Like you.
You're alive. Okay, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, it's a little shaky up here in this country. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. You know, and still we have to deal with this orange mess and malaria. That's what I'm going to call it now. The first malaria. Anyway, what we have here is a failure to communicate. We've seen this movie. We've been down this road. Justice in Kentucky. The lawn jockey could get better justice, and he's dead. Okay, what kind of justice are we meting out in Kentucky these days? That's a bigger question. Where the attorney general can get up there on television and deny pretty much that systemic racism exists, but then his governor says racism exists. So which one are we listening to? Which one is the truth? Which one is dealing in reality, my people? Get out of Disney World with these people. Stop playing games with them. I keep telling y'all, the nuclear option, by the way, for the Ginsburg, you know, choice, for replacing the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There is a nuclear option, by the way, that the U.S. Congress can take. It's called, wait, are you ready for it? Are you holding on? It's called impeachment. Y'all heard me say this several weeks ago. I said the final chapter can be written with an additional impeachment. Stop the madness now, Congress. Pelosi, you have the power. Are you going to use it? It's constitutional, by the way. So I'll stop right there. I'm through with Kentucky injustice. You know, who won the Kentucky Derby? Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't a horse, was it?
Let's bring in Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman. What's up, Wayne? Jump in here. I know you got something to say.
Yeah, gentlemen, it's despicable what's going on. I think it was appropriate that, I don't know if that piece that you played of Malcolm X was from Ballad of the Bullet. He recorded that almost 60 years ago, and it's still applicable today. You know, it's unfortunate that we have to deal with people like the House Negro, and this is someone who was extremely loyal to Brother Mitch McConnell, like how Brother Giuliani is loyal to Brother Trump, and it just really, really bothers me how he would come to the fore during a campaign, and basically, I'm not saying that we're not a monolith. We have conservative elements in our community, but this is just basic common sense that just really baffles me that poor Breonna Taylor was shot 7 times, and not one cop, you know, was singled out for her death. What I thought was a murder. You know, I heard someone say had it been some, you know, street hoodlums had done the same thing, all of us would have been locked up. All of them would have been locked up if they were, you know, involved in the same scenario, not members of law enforcement. So, again, you know, this is a culture that only the White House has basically cultivated, and they want this level of hysteria to stay right up until Election Day with hope that they will just get back in for a second term. And the die has been cast. You know, I'm not getting pessimistic. I think everyone should come out there and vote. But it's... You know, just really bothersome to see something so clear, so black and white, if you will, can be so discolored, that is so confounding, that this man, I'm assuming Daniel Cameron, has some modicum amount of education. You know, I mean, I'm talking about cultural education, not what he was trained to be in terms of a litigator and all that and an attorney. But, you know, it's almost defying logic that he could come up with and I know it wasn't just him alone, it was the grand jury's feelings, but basically he's the one that delivers, you know? It's his case, and it's just unfortunate, really, really unfortunate. And I think Kentucky felt that if they threw enough money in the civil case against, you know, to provide through the family, that would anesthetize everything and that would be it. But it just goes to show that our lives don't matter, period.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole grand jury system, as you know, I think is kind of bogus anyway, and that needs to be thrown out and redone and reworked. And this whole system, man, the whole thing is nothing but a facade. It's make-believe. It's not what it says on paper. It was designed for it to be a white supremacist country when these people came over here and conquered it, right? Because, you know, people were traveling back and forth way before they got here, way before Christopher Columbus got here, and all those lies they like to tell themselves and nice, happy stories. But the bad intentions that these individuals arrived on this continent with, and they wrote those in. If you look at the fine print in a lot of these documents, you'll see all of that stuff, right? But, of course, that's not what they tell you, and that's not what they upplay. If you look at the world, everywhere on the face of the planet, where a certain group of people have stepped their foot, they have created mayhem amongst the indigenous people. That's for the people that are really educated, really know what's going on. I'm not going to get into it deeply, but everywhere on the face of the planet that they've stepped foot on, they've caused the indigenous people sometimes to even fight amongst themselves and to hate each other. I'm going to bring on our guest that you invited to come on the show tonight, and he's going to give a perspective down in Florida, Brother Reggie Thomas. Reggie Thomas was a general sales manager at WLIB, WBLS, ran V103 in Atlanta, sales for Metro Media Russia, and he's one of the brothers there. I see you're fluent in Russian, brother. I've been to Russia a long time ago myself. Let's welcome our brother Reggie Thomas to the show. How you doing tonight, brother?
Good. How y'all doing?
All right.
Great.
You know.
A little bit agitated, brother. How you doing down there in Florida, as I heard some people like to call it?
You want to talk about agitation? I was telling Wayne that I've reached out to literally everybody that I can think of in the Biden campaign. They want to know why they're not able to get a foothold with the voters in Florida. And they're spending all of this money on television, and some of the television stations are running Biden and Trump ads and anti-Biden ads all in the same break. Now, in radio and television, there's something called separation policy. It's called competitive separation. In radio, it was normally 15-minute separation, which meant that no competitive ad would run in the same break. And they would put a code in it, and the codes were alike so that the computer knows to keep them apart. Well, they're violating that here in at least Central Florida at every turn. And one of the stations, particularly the CBS affiliate, where I see it happen the most, are running in the stop set. They'll run a Biden ad, and then they'll run an anti-Biden ad. Then they may run an automotive dealer, and then they'll run a Trump ad. Now, that's four commercials. Well, the consumer is always generally going to listen and remember the last ad.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing here is that Florida is one of the most important states to both candidates in this election. If Trump wins Florida, that's more than one-tenth of the 270 that he needs for reelection. If Biden can keep Trump from getting that, that's going to be a big, big deal, which is the reason why Michael Bloomberg committed $100 million on top of what the Biden campaign already had, $100 million just for Florida so that they can try to block Trump from winning this. The thing is, though, when you have media entities, when all of this money is being spent and some of them appear, I'm not going to say that they are, I'm saying they appear to be sabotaging of the campaign, that's not good. And you know Florida has always been in the midst of some type of controversy around elections, the hanging chads, and when the Supreme Court had to step in to decide the election. I mean, it's always been a problem here. And the thing is that with DeSantis, who is basically a Trump minion, you know, one of the things that was really suspicious to me was when Nevada decided that they were going to send out ballots, and Trump screamed and decided that they were going to take Nevada government to court. And then the next day he says, "But I'm okay with Florida's balloting." And it, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, so Nevada is not good. What's going on with Florida? And then I was wondering if there was, like, some secret shenanigans that was going on with the governor in Florida and Trump. I don't know if you saw yesterday the governor in Florida is going to submit legislation for a bill that would take away the rights of protesters. And one of the tenets in the bill is that if a driver happens to run down or kill a protester during one of these protests, they would be exonerated immediately from prosecution.
Yeah, I saw something like
it's
that. I saw on the crawl
right
on CNN something about that. That's what that's about, huh? If they happen to hit a protester, they would
yeah,
they would not
they don't
have
like
to
the
get
fact
prosecuted.
That, you know, this Black Lives Matter and a lot of the other states and some of the other protests are, you know, like, you know, what was going on in Portland. You know,
mm-hmm.
DeSantis, oh, this is just not going to happen like that here. Well,
mm-hmm.
my suspicion is that at the end of his term, that's going to be pretty much it. Somebody told me that they think he'd try to run for president. But the fact of the matter is going back to this original deal with the Biden campaign, I've reached out to Joe Biden and a bunch of other people who are connected with that campaign, and even calling Kamala Harris's office in San Francisco with no response. The only person who returned my call was Reverend William Barber. And I didn't get a chance to talk to him because I didn't have my phone with me. And when I called back, he didn't, his phone was, his messages were full. This is so serious. And I'm looking at the screen this morning and it's saying that Trump had inched ahead in Florida.
That's right.
But they got to pay attention to the little things. You can't, just because you got a couple of hundred or 300 or $400 million to spend on TV, if the TV stations run it wrong, you can be in trouble. And this is so, so serious here. If Bloomberg gave you $100 million to try to beat Trump in Florida, then you need to go back and check it. And I mentioned to Wayne the other day, one of the things that the campaign needs to do is go to these television stations where they spent this money around the country and look at the logs. And if any logs show that Trump ads ran in that same break, make them give you make good spots or get a refund, because you know political ads are not cheap. And you have to pay them in advance. You don't get credit for running political ads. You know, like you do if you're a car dealer or if you run a pharmaceutical company. Political ads have to be paid cash in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you can't let these stations mess up the money or sabotage you. Because
that's
the
right.
Reality is there are media companies who are adverse to Democrats and pro-Republican and probably vice versa. But the thing
right.
that concerned me so much is when I saw this here in Central Florida, I started wondering, well, wait a minute, where else is this going on in the country?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably happening in a lot of places.
I'm sure it's happening in every state and probably most of the states that are run by Republicans. I'm going to call off the top of my head. I wouldn't be surprised if it was going down in North Dakota, right, with that governor, with her. Wouldn't be surprised if it was going down to Missouri with that governor who just
Georgia?
Came out, that him and his wife, Georgia, absolutely, you know. I mean, he was trying to sue
yep.
the mayor. So I don't put anything past these individuals. This is what I'm talking about, and this is my problem with the Democratic Party. Is exactly what you're talking about, Reggie. The softness that we have, and you know, the fellas know. I often say that we're the punk ass Democrats because we want to just react to things, let all this stuff go down, and not be on the offensive. You know, and sometimes, like I always say, some people just want to fight you. So you're gonna have to come outside and fight that bully. You're gonna have to throw down eventually. And for the Democratic Party, part of the party, love it, but we need to step the game up. It's just like Hispanics feeling that there's no outreach to them. And we understand what we talked about the other couple of weeks ago or last week about the differences between some Cuban voters and some Cuban voters of color and other type of Hispanic voters. Not all are monolithic, but there are certain reasons why certain people support Republicans as opposed to Democrats, right? So. But there should be no reason that any Hispanic groups should feel that they're not being reached out by the Biden campaign, especially when there's so much ammunition to go after the sitting president within the Hispanic community and all of the detrimental and negative and horrible things that he's inferred about their community. There's no way in hell that should be a problem and they should feel left out. And so that's why sometimes I'm like, well, what's going on? Are we supposed to win or not? Just makes me kind of think about it a little bit.
This is, well, listen, here's what's going on here in Florida, and you have to dissect it a little bit. One of the things they talked about is the fact that Cuban Americans don't like the Democratic Party because of a lot of the policies seem to move in the direction of socialism when they're talking about providing health care for all and Medicare and Medicaid and their life in Cuba was more on the socialist vein, which they don't want. The thing to look at, if you go back and look at the story on 60 Minutes right after 45 got in office, was the couple where the husband was Mexican and they had been living in the United States for a long time. He wasn't a citizen, but he was a homeowner and he bought a business. They worked. Do any of you remember seeing that?
I remember vaguely. The story that you're referencing.
And the woman insisted that they vote for Trump. And the husband was really, really tentative about that. But you sure? And she was, no, you know, he said that he's going to, he's going to support small business owners, and it's the right thing to do. As soon as Trump got into office and they both voted for him, ICE came looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go in every month to see immigration. Had never had to do that before. And one day his wife was sitting in the car waiting for him to come out of immigration. And about 3 hours later, normally it was about a 45-minute visit. She sat there for 3 hours, and finally immigration officer came out and said, you probably need to go home because your husband is being deported. And she did not see him again. The next time she heard from him, he was in a convent in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on TV crying her eyes out. And she said, I never dreamed that he would do this, that Trump would do this. We voted for him because we thought he was in for small business. Where I live here in Florida near the Orlando area and the villages. And I don't know if you saw on TV a few months ago on the news when the senior citizens were arguing in their golf carts.
Right.
And the one white guy raised his fist in the air and yelled, yeah, white power.
Right. Yep.
That's a place where my wife and I go regularly. And we were so turned off by that. We haven't been there in quite some time, partially due to the pandemic. But we don't really have that urge to go back anymore. Now, we've known that there were a lot of racists there already. They have big rallies on the big main streets where one side is for Trump and the other side is for Biden. And they got motorhomes with big loudspeakers on it. The thing is here is that people that are not from New York do not know the Trump legacy. They don't know that he and his dad owned buildings where they did not want people of color in it. The Central Park Five, the history around that. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And then there's some people who don't care. And those are the people that I'm worried about. When I see that you can be comfortable with the leader of the free world who is purportedly a crook, who is reportedly somebody who has, think of all the businesses that closed down because they didn't get paid.
That's right.
You know, the one story about the gentleman who, the piano company, that provided him the pianos for the for one of the casinos in Atlantic City.
Right, the cabinet maker.
And
who,
and the guy's
who,
business
who died.
Almost went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
He was a cabinet maker for the casinos, and he tried to get his money so long, he died, and his sons were still trying to get it from Trump.
I mean, these are stories that are going on, and there's
yeah.
people who, you know, oh, I know people that say, oh, Trump is the best president in the history of America. And now they're talking about tonight the fact that, you know, that he is literally planning a coup right before our eyes.
Absolutely.
Talking about this on MSNBC all night. It's,
yeah. Yeah, they've been talking about
it. Listen,
I
mean, all this time if you didn't see it coming, you know. And I'm really concerned about that Electoral College. I sat here and I did the math, and I had a chance to review some articles that were sent to me. And I said, this guy has this thing really pegged the way he wants it. You know, that even if he doesn't get the popular vote, he's reliant on that. And this is where the connection is with the Supreme Court. You know, gets
yeah.
another conservative in there. Those folks control what goes on with the college to a certain extent.
Well,
and it is what it is. I mean, I'm not saying don't go out there, because we really need a landslide. But they've got to do away with the system.
Well, this is what the Democrats need to do. What they obviously once they get in, no more playing. And this is what we talked about before, right? We talk about that the Democrats
mm-hmm.
don't think the long game. You know, these guys have been planning this for 40 years, right? This is
oh,
why
yeah.
Mitch was holding on and was not going to block every single thing that Barack did, and they were just loading up the federal courts, right? And then wait till they get their opportunity, and this is their opportunity. Of course, they never meant what they said when you get to Lindsey, roll the tape, hold my words. Of course, your words mean nothing. And now you have Barr. I'm sure maybe you guys might have seen this other story where Barr was designating New York, Portland, and Seattle
oh, yeah.
as anarchist mm-hmm. kind of environments. So now they're
mm-hmm.
using that as a precursor to not give the funding, cut back on a lot of funding to these areas, because obviously they want to squash the protesters, squash dissent, which is what they're doing. The thing that is crazy to me is that you had the man's first statement was talking about when Mexico sends its people, it doesn't send best people. I mean, that's the first political statement he ever made in the frame of officially running for office. So, I mean, you know, somebody comes out and that's the first thing they say. I don't understand what would you think is going to happen? This is the crazy thing. And individuals are voting for him just like throughout history, poor whites, people who benefit more greatly from Democratic administrations, Democratic programs, but they still go through that old saying, at least you're still a white man in America. And they hold on to that, and it ends up causing their death. Certainly, if we look at the pandemic, how many of them have died listening to this man and trusting him. That's the travesty. We know you hate us, but damn, you're just going to do that to your own people? That's the most. That's really one of the more despicable things in my eyes, you know.
But it's still,
I mean, just
more
the fact
of
that,
us dying from it than them. And,
exactly.
And I really believe that there is a hidden agenda where they look at it and say, wow, this, you know, this pandemic actually may work in our behalf. What I mean by that is because more people of color are passing away from
mm-hmm.
it and have suffered
yep.
from it.
Yep.
It affects the fact that they don't have to worry as much as regarding the browning of America.
Exactly.
As it relates
exactly.
to the polls. Now,
exactly.
here's another news flash. Bloomberg, as well as some celebrities, I think including Michael Jordan and John Legend, have contributed a huge sum of money. A couple of years ago, Florida passed a referendum that felons, former felons, can vote in Florida once they've done their time.
Right.
very secretly, the governor of Florida went behind the scenes and had it adjusted that these people can't vote until they pay all of their fees
right
to the state. So from what I heard this morning, some 32,000 former felons will have their monies paid so that they can vote in this election, from what I understand. I don't know if that's absolutely correct, but they did the math.
I saw something like 5,000 that Bloomberg was paying for. I saw either in the news or somewhere on the internet that it was like about 5,000 that Bloomberg himself was paying their back fines so they could vote. Maybe the number was greater than that. But yeah, we've talked about that too, that they want people to pay restitution or whatever, these back fines, this crazy law that they went behind people's back. And you know, you brought up the issues with Florida even when W won the election. And this is this is what I'm saying. Even though, you know, back in the day when Tim Russert said it's all about Florida, 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 right? Why the Democrats still depend on that, those electoral votes. Certainly with Gore v. Bush, V.W. Bush, right? That's when the time his brother was governor. And they said it on the private plane. We're going to take Florida.
Yeah. So
why would you, you know, do the math and work out the way where the electoral, your votes, you know, that's going to put that aside because you know they're going to cheat, right? And I'm sure you probably know about, Reggie, I've heard stories where ballots were just thrown on the side of the road in some districts. And so we continue to want
to
do that. We continue to rely on the integrity of the system that has no integrity.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, really, really
I remember
scary.
that election very well. I mean, we had a chance to go down to Miami, some of us from the station, and we were covering Reverend Jackson, who was going around Dade County in different parts of the state that, you know, people of color are in the for. And they disrespected this man. I mean, peacefully he was going out trying to drum up support, canvassing different districts. And it seems like the Republican Party was in lockstep everywhere that he went. At one point, they even threatened his life at one location. Never forget that. And I just said, wow. You know, I didn't, you know, I knew Florida had problems, but I didn't know it was on that level. And there are a lot of transplanted New Yorkers, as you well know. That's their second home, if not their home, their retirement home.
Right.
So
right,
that's
but,
correct.
But is it? Let me just ask you, Reggie. Is it that central part of Florida that really is, from what I hear, is that really that kind of Trump Belt area, or is it pretty much the entire state now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you look at it, your primary areas in where you'll find it to be a little bit more Democratic will be Miami-Dade and Fort Lauderdale, that whole region, Orlando itself, and just outside of that, Tampa and Jacksonville.
Right.
Those are your primary areas where you find it. Everywhere else is going to be pretty much Republican. The thing is that I live in an area that's a little bit – I don't live that far from Orlando, but my area is a little bit, more country. And, you see the Trump flags and – as a matter of fact, I passed by somebody's house the other day and they had a locomotive in their front yard all dressed in Trump regalia. And it was the Trump train. And they really go all out here.
Right.
One of the things
that
you need to take a look at is the whole thing dealing with Russia. I lived there right after I left WLIB. I went to run Metro Media. You remember Metro Media Channel 5 in New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Metro Media stations around the country. Well, when they left the U.S., they bought a bunch of radio stations in Eastern Europe, including in Moscow and St. Petersburg, and because I speak Russian, I ended up as the vice president for Metro Media and based in Moscow. 45 was there in 96, trying to do business and trying to get a hotel done. And during the time that I was there, I really suspected that my phones at the radio stations and at my house were tapped. Every time I picked up the phone in the house, I could hear a click. I can't tell you about my cell phones, but I felt as though that I was being watched a little bit more carefully, primarily because I was a Russian linguist here in the States at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you have to know about an individual like Putin, now Putin wasn't a player when I was in Russia.
Right. I was going to ask, Was Yeltsin the president?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeltsin was the president, and while I was there, I had a chance to meet Bill Clinton. Because he came over for a meeting with Yeltsin and the White House press corps and all of those people came in.
Right.
It was just amazing to me to see how many folks were there. And as a matter of fact, Brian Williams from NBC and I met at the Slavyanskaya Hotel, and he couldn't figure out where the event was. So I walked him over, and we had a chance to talk as we went there. The thing that you have to know about the KGB, which Putin was an officer in that organization, is that what they do is they collect enough information about you, especially if they think you're a person of power, to try to put you in a situation where you can be compromised.
Right.
Plus the book that the gentleman just wrote, Stroke, the former FBI agent.
Stroke, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just came out with the book Compromised.
Mm-hmm.
And the only two people that I've ever heard say that that is a strong possibility is Pelosi and that gentleman. And then recently, with the Bob Woodward book, I've heard that with Coates, the guy that used to be the top intelligence person.
All of those things you have to look at. Exactly.
Yeah, all of those things you have to look at. You got to wonder why. Why does Russia absolutely want him in office?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of certain things that have happened in the past that
right.
you really have to take a look at.
Well,
you know,
we're talking about
the Miss Universe pageant
right.
over
about
there.
The Steele dossier, right? I mean, now you're referencing elements that they say were included within the Steele dossier about his time with that pageant and things and some of his antics over there with certain people. I was there. I went to Russia in 1980. I used to do a lot of stuff with YMCA. I was in youth and government, Model United Nations, and being elected youth governor from New Jersey, we had access to all of these various trips abroad. And so part of the briefing, there was one to go to Russia at that time to discuss with the Young Pioneers Club. You're probably familiar with them, which was the Russian counterpart to YMCA.
Young Komsomolsky.
That's right. And so we were discussing detente. That was the subject. We were in college kids, and we were a couple of people that were a little older. But part of the briefing was you might get people that might ask you to buy your jeans. Don't sell it to them. And all of these experiences. And one particular time we would talk to a couple of people that might have been in government. We were in Moscow, Leningrad, St. Petersburg, went to Tallinn, Estonia. But one particular incident, two incidents actually, we've talked to members of the Communist Party. They decided to speak to us. And so one of the people asked, they were talking for a while and telling us about, you know, this and that. And someone said, well, you know, he said, we encourage people to get into the party and, you know, you could be active, yada, yada. And somebody says, well, what happens if you disagree with the party? And the three gentlemen looked at each other, spoke in Russian, and they just started laughing. They said, "You don't disagree with the party." And I'll never forget that. And also, as we were getting ready to leave, we were taking a group picture. Someone wanted to take a picture with some of our hosts that were walking us around there. Took a picture in the airport, and one of the police came over and was going to take her camera. Because you know how they are about their facilities and airports and things like that, because they thought that that was part of their national security, and you know there are these Americans there, and this girl's taking a picture in the airport, and you know they negotiated for her to just expose the film. She didn't have to give up her whole camera, but exactly kind of like what you're saying. They're and I don't know who the president was at that time, maybe Gorbachev, maybe I think probably, but
it was probably Gorbachev.
Yeah, it is. It was a very interesting experience being over there. Certainly, as you know, being an African American and getting stared at all the time was something.
Well,
that
had changed.
That was...
A lot of things had changed by the time I got there. I got there in 96, and a lot of that had eased up, and they were really starting to go into this this whole deal of where people were, you know, owning their own businesses. Radio was, in a lot of senses, were privately owned. Only since since Putin came to power, did a lot of American and other foreign businesses decide that it was probably time to back out, because he had changed the policy to where, in the beginning, before Putin came to power, 80% of a business can be owned by foreigners, and have 20% is what they were looking for ownership by Russians. By the time Putin came to power, he wanted that flip-flopped. And a lot of foreign businesses were like, oh, heck no. Ain't no way on earth we're going to let Russians run 20% of our business, because now you get into a whole thing of shadow books. There's a lot of cheating going on. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, would hold up tranches of money to Russia because they wouldn't collect their taxes. And then what they would do is come to companies like mine and Metro Media, and then all of a sudden the tax police banging at the door and taping up the closets where our records are, and then they're in your offices for 3 months. Pouring over your books, and they did that to us one time. And when they finally finished, they came in. They were in my office smoking cigarettes that I had bought them from the States, and said, "Господин Thomas, we've poured over the books and found that your company owes us, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of dollars." and if you want to refute it, Mr. Thomas, KPMG did your taxes wrong, so we're going to put you in jail until your company pays the debt. And the folks say, ain't no big deal, that's the cost of doing business, no problem. And they squared it away and everything was cool, but this is the way things are done there. And you don't go over there trying to be Mr. Big Stuff, you know, just because you're an American. Those Russians will kill you like it's nobody's business. Not
That's right.
so fast. Their history is far greater than ours in America. Russia's been around. Russian history goes back thousands of years.
Yes, been around for a very
thousands
long time.
Thousands of years, you know.
Orthodox.
You know, we've been around a couple hundred years.
That's right. Hey, Brother Reggie, want to thank you for talking to us tonight, calling in. We want to I want to encourage you to do it another time, and we could talk about your time in Atlanta at V103, because when I was down there, that station was jamming back in the day.
I was actually at V103 in Baltimore.
Oh, in Baltimore. Okay.
Sorry about that. Same company, but I was at V in Baltimore. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about Baltimore then. Next time, because that's got quite a history. But want to thank you, Brother Reggie. And we're gonna have you back on and talk about, you know,
we're going to keep an eye on Florida and see if we can get some
all right,
Democratic
no problem.
Party to
y'all
pay
take
a little
it
closer
easy,
attention. Thank you, brother. Take care.
Okay.
All
thank
the best.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, man, it's obvious, as you guys know, and we always talk about, that the Republicans, I don't put anything past them, you know. When they accepted this guy, and I'm going to talk about John McCain, and ironically, you see, John McCain's wife came out in support of Joe Biden. And,
right.
And, you know, you see what they're willing to do. I mean, they've become, in my eyes, completely corrupt. If they weren't already, I mean, but obviously both parties were engaged in the perpetuation of white supremacy to a certain degree, but those guys are completely all in, and they've got no scruples. I don't know about how you guys feel, but from my perspective, seeing that just how they're doing this whole Supreme Court thing, not really surprised, but I am surprised at just how hard they're going at it. You know, what do you guys think?
What? If I might, I don't know what I was hoping Byron would jump in at some point. I don't want to sound like I'm dominating. Is he still there?
I'm still here. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. You know, I guess we need to Zoom so we can read each other's signals at some point. But, you know, it just amazes me, you know, how this party just seems so classless that they're not – I listened to Cindy McCain this morning, and it's really about the country. It's about a democracy that we're trying to uphold. And for some reason, the Republican Party has been hell-bent on setting this agenda where there is control. And the latent side of it, which is not so latent anymore, is that that conservative, religious, white belt of Christians, how they call themselves Christians and see what's going on, and don't have a response to it is deafening to me. But, you know, something's got to change. And I'm just hoping that even if we were to lose the White House, that the Senate is flipped, you know, and that both houses are dominated by Democrats. And again, I want to remain optimistic. I don't even like to put this energy out here, but there's just so much nonsense, machinations, that are going on just to thwart this vote, to be an honest vote. And earlier tonight he gave a news conference and talked about and just sort of minimized the whole transition. Well, there'll be no transition until, you know, even after the election. And I'm just saying, well, wait a minute. Where do you get off with that? But he's been setting that. He's been cultivating this atmosphere for quite some time. And it's sick. It's sickening.
Speaking of nepotism, by the way, the Attorney General Cameron from Kentucky is married to the granddaughter of Mitch McConnell.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
In so many ways. In so many ways.
You might want to factor that as to what really went on today in the political machinations, because, yes, we said this last week, the Attorney General pretty much is screwed because the city has already negotiated a payout to Brianna's family. So at the point at which this is about money, not justice, okay, and as we know, and we have to pivot back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Her passing, think of this, gentlemen. Up until this moment, all of the world stopped on behalf of black men and women wrongfully killed by police. All this has been about justice, rule of law, constitution. Now that the fact that the icon of justice has passed, this goes way beyond political ramifications. She passed on Rosh Hashanah. She took the high holy days, and we're talking about the reform of justice.
Right.
Okay? Not just the police department, justice on the back of the smallest person on the court the most diminutive of all persons on the court. This was a giant. America stands on the shoulders of a giant who was 5 foot what?
That's right.
Consider this
barely 5 feet.
Moment of clarity, because this is not about politics any longer. It's about justice in America. This is a moment of clarity for this democracy, and if it doesn't succeed beyond this, the rapid fall will go so quickly because there will be no rule of law. Respect the rule of law.
It's interesting. The ones talking about law and order have no respect for law and order, and you know
law
that.
And order.
That's right.
This is what
None.
Criminals do. Criminals accuse innocent people of being the criminals and claim that they are the innocent people. So none of this is surprising to me. That fact that you brought out, that he's married to Mitch's granddaughter, is quite surprising.
Yeah.
And just the term miscegenation came to mind.
Yeah.
To take it way
now
back.
Now watch the stock market, gentlemen. This
mm-hmm.
is 2 days now in a row. The stock market has gone into the tank.
Right.
I've been trying to tell people for the last several months, harvest time would be our most dire time when it came to the market. There are no silos full. We just
That's right.
gave part of this stimulus package is to give farmers another several billion dollars of money to bail them out for their poor crop rotation.
Do you think that money's going to come, either one of you?
If it comes, it's not going to get to where it really is most needed and
yeah.
should go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're playing.
Yeah,
they play tricks with the other money. You know,
they're
right.
playing all kinds of tricks with the money. But I'm telling you, watch the stock market, gentlemen. We lost today 525 on the Dow, NASDAQ down 330 points, the S&P down 78.65. That's never happened in the middle of the week like this. This is Wednesday. Okay, I'm trying to give you a forewarning because the market cannot continue to sustain the making of money. They're laundering money so fast right now. It's incredible that the notion of a crime syndicate operating between the White House and the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve is beyond comprehension, my friends. You need to look into this.
And you know what movie I watched last night? The Irishman. And if you watch that, that's very similar. Some very similar issues going on. We're inside of 2 minutes, guys. So some last thoughts as we jump out of here and get ready for the next one in a couple of days.
My last thought, gentlemen, is this. We are facing what I consider the rise of the silent majority. You may hear the polls and how they're being played out, but remember this. The people running the country right now are a minority.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to remember that. We are
But they're trying to fix the system. So they're trying to fix the system so they have a minority rule.
That's right. But that is the basic line. And if you believe in democracy and one man, one vote and rule of law, then it's time to rise up and take back what you gave to a minority to run this country. They have screwed it up. Now you have
there
to
it
take
is.
It back away from them.
There it is. That's the word from our legendary historian. Wake up, you guys. Byron Saunders. We'll talk to you again until the next episode, my brother. Fight the power.
Absolutely.
All right?
Peace and love.
Wayne Gilman, legendary historian,
hey,
legendary newsman.
I just want to copy what Byron said, man. We have to wake up. No question about it. This is another South African apartheid system, modern day style. And
right.
it's unfortunate. Yeah.
You said a mouthful there. Mr. Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman. We'll talk
right.
again until the next episode. All right, my brother. See
All
you
right.
Again.
Thanks again for having Reggie on, too.
Thank
way.
You. And thank you to Mr. Reggie Harris.
Reggie Thomas, excuse me. This has been Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Kay's Son, Citizen Payne. Thanks for listening. You know how we do. Fight the power, everybody. Get out there and vote.